Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us. And thanks so much for joining us. If this is your first time with us, a special welcome to you. It's great to have you here. But let's say that it's just so good to be reminded of why we gather in these sorts of things. And that opening video just says it all, doesn't it? We are here to acknowledge all that God's done for us. And he's done so much. It's just so, so important. So let's remember that as we go through our time this morning. But of course, today is a slightly special day, isn't it? Because if you're not already aware, and you've not already been woken up with a box of chocolates and a cup of tea in bed, mums, this is a special day. This is Mother's Day today. And in fact, we want to include all other ladies as well, because we appreciate you all. And being as we've all at some point had a mom, I think this today is an opportunity for us to just be grateful and to thank them for all that they are and all that they've done for us, but also to pray God's blessing on them as well. And that's both moms and grandmas, great-grandmas and even great-great-grandmas. I don't know whether we have any of those within church, but if you are and you're watching, both past and present, it's great to have you with us. So, on behalf of all those who are kids, and we've all been those, we are just wanting to pray God's blessing upon you, and we want you to know that we love you, and we appreciate you, and all that you've done, and even though we don't always show it, and I'm saying that really to encourage the kids, to show your appreciation to mum a bit more often. So let's acknowledge those mums and those ladies now, as we commit our service to God. So let's pray. So Lord, we want to thank you for yet another opportunity to meet and to worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, for Jesus, and for making yourself known to us, and for the many, many blessings which you bring to us, O God. Thank you. And especially today, as we've acknowledged, we want to thank you for all our mums, for our grandmas and great-grandmas, and for all the other ladies who have an input into our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for them. And we pray for each and every one. Lord, we thank you for those mums who are no longer with us, as well as those who are here with us now. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. And we are so grateful for them. And today, Lord, and every day, we want to thank you for all that they give us. Thank you for all that they are and all that they do for us. Thank you for the way they love us and care for us in all sorts of ways, thinking of others rather than themselves many times, and for being there for us each day, helping us, even when things are a bit tough and hard. Lord, we pray, fill them afresh now, we ask, and fill them with your love and your strength. Grant them your wisdom and give them your peace and your presence at all times, even when they're really busy doing lots of things for others. Renew them, we ask, and encourage them this morning by your Spirit. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Amen. So be blessed, mums. Okay, enjoy yourselves. And I tell you, if you've not had your box of chocolates or your flowers, a hug will suffice. All right. So a kid's hug. Okay, let's worship God now. Let's focus. And Rich and Adam are going to lead us. So thanks, guys. Bless you.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. to see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's call. We are your church, and we pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reach in the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You've made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, ever in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, and nothing compared to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I may hold. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever and oh. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever and my heart will sing, no other name
God is there for us. We can run into his arms however it is we're feeling. Praise him. It's great. Okay, just a few announcements if I could. Firstly, it's good to have Fee Murray, a live, real person here amongst us this morning. And she'll be bringing God's word to us a bit later. So great to have you here, Fee. It's nice when you see someone joins the team. It sort of feels much, and we've got some new guys on tech as well today, so it's brilliant. Now, then, of course, next week, we begin to invite the congregation back. Some of you guys who are sitting at home at the moment, we're going to invite some of you back and starting to invite you back into the building for worship on Sundays. All still be, of course, under the guidelines and the restrictions which we've been given, but we're going to do this by life groups. And your life group leader will be in touch with you. Don't just turn up if you could, you know, make sure you're invited first. But then on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, which is obviously not that far away, we're going to start to open it up to anybody who wants to be here. But you do have to book in your place. Otherwise, we have a limit on numbers. So it will come on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you can make sure you email, most of you, Lord, had the email about that. If you haven't, please leave a note in the comments and we'll make sure you get that email. Okay, so next few weeks, a bit of excitement as we start to gather back again, which is great. Also, just a quick reminder, there's the Churches Together Lent course still running. We're caring for creation. We're up to week 3 of the 5. Week four, this week, and that runs on Tuesday morning and Wednesday evening. If you want information, again, this on the Churches Together website or even through the EBC website. And it's our prayer gathering this week, 7 o'clock. So if you're able to join us for that, that will be via Zoom, and hopefully you'll be sent that link throughout the week. And then finally, of course, you can have your coffee time together. Afterwards at 11:30, and if God said anything or you would like some prayer and some ministry, then the opportunity is there afterwards then as well. Okay, so I'm now going to hand over to Rich without further ado, and he's got some magic stuff going on. I don't know. Over to you, Rich.
There we go. I've turned on the microphone. It's really good to be with you this morning. And I've brought in something to show you a little bit about the story that Fee's going to be explaining with us later. And in order to do that, I've got a special bag which makes things disappear. Now, I don't know if you ever lose things. I don't know if you're ever a bit forgetful, but I can't leave the house to go to work without rushing back 5 minutes later to find an iPad or a phone or even a set of keys that I've left behind. But this bag is very special because it loses things, but it also finds them. You can put things into it and then they disappear, but then other times they can come back. And I'm just going to show you that this bag is really completely empty here. And in fact, I've got a zip in the bottom. I'll open that and you can put your hand right through. There is nothing at all in it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to find my little friend here. And this is Peter. Peter was one of Jesus's friends. And after Jesus died, came back to life and went back to heaven, Peter was very important because he helped lots of other people find out about Jesus and put their trust in him. Lots of people loved Peter because he showed them who Jesus was. But some people really didn't like Peter, and one of those was King Herod. Now, King Herod had helped arrest Jesus and been part of his death, and when he found out that Christians, people who loved Jesus, were going around talking about them, he started to have some of them arrested and even some of them killed. And he took Peter and he threw him into prison. And he put guards either side and he chained him up and he put him into prison. But the next morning, he found out that he'd disappeared. Peter had vanished. Peter was gone. And he looked everywhere for Peter, but he couldn't find him. Because God had sent an angel in the night to release Peter, and he took Peter back to his friends. Now, Peter's friends had been praying for him. I don't know if you pray at home, but they'd been praying that Herod wouldn't kill him and that he would come back to them. And in fact, they were so surprised when there was a knock at the door in the middle of the night and they opened the door to find Peter, who was free from prison. They didn't really believe that God had answered their prayer. They thought that they'd gone crazy, but God answers prayers. And God rescues people. Now, I don't know if, like you, you've ever done, like me, you've ever done anything that's wrong, but the Bible calls that sin. And just like how Jesus, through his Spirit and the angel, rescued Peter, Jesus still loves to rescue people today. And in fact, Jesus says that when I take my sin and all the wrong things that I've done and I give them to him, he does something incredible. He doesn't just make them disappear. He transforms them and he gives me all of his goodness. He takes all of the dark and horrible things away from my life and he makes me clean again. So maybe, like Peter, you feel trapped in prison and you want to be rescued. Or maybe, like Peter, you know that there were things you'd done in your life that weren't right, and Jesus is the one who can make us clean again. It is so good to have God as our friend. Not only because he does amazing things, but because he wants to take us to be with him in heaven and make us clean. We're going to sing our song, I Am a Friend of God. And Adam's going to start it up as I run over and grab my guitar.
Yeah. glory you have called me friend. Ah. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. 'Cause I am a friend of God. He calls me friend, and I am a friend of God. Oh, oh, I am a friend of God. Oh, oh, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
That's good to know, isn't it? We're all friends of God, or God is our friend, and that means that we can get out of any situation. I'd love to know how he did that. Anyway, I'll find out a bit later, perhaps. Okay, you may remember a few weeks ago, we began a series about interviewing people in the community. Fee led that and chatted with Hannah Boyce initially, who's a community nurse here within Swanage and Purbeck. But today, she's going to be interviewing, obviously recording, because she's here live, Dave and Sarah Brock, and they're about their work and what they do here for and with the community. So thanks very much.
Hi everyone, my name's Fee, and today I'm joined by Dave and Sarah Brock of the Mizpah Prayer House, which a lot of you will know about already. But for those who don't, it's a prayer meeting each week where different churches from the area join together to seek God and what he's doing and pray for individuals, pray for the community. It's a place of just wanting to really bless Swanage and beyond. So, hi guys, hi Sarah and Dave, how are you doing?
Hi everybody, we're all good.
Good, good. Now, it'd be really great to focus particularly on the 24/7 prayer day that you guys are doing. So, what can you tell us about that to begin with? Like, how did it start and why?
Well, back in October, we got commissioned by 24/7 prayer after a 2-year period of joining up. And since then, we've started on Tuesdays. We started doing a virtual prayer room. So we've launched that through Facebook in a group you can join, or you can email, and we'll give you all the details for that. But basically, since October, every Tuesday we've been doing 24 hours to pray in everything that God's promised over Swanage. We pray for the churches, we pray for EBC, we pray for all the leadership team, pray for all you guys, pray for all the different ministers. And we're just praying in what God's promised he's going to do in Swanage. And it's been really, really encouraging.
Brilliant. So the key premise is that if you want to get involved, all we need to do is email you with an email address that we've already sent out to EBC. We just let you know what time we can do. And we basically are committing to pray for an hour along with lots of different Christians in the area who will have their own times. So that over 24 hours, we've got Swanage covered in prayer.
That's it, exactly. And when we get to March, we're hopefully opening 24/7.
Wow, 24/7. So literally all the time.
Okay. Does what it does on the tin.
Amazing. okay, great. So we need to email you with a time, and then you'll sort it all out. So that basically Swanage is covered in prayer as a united church for 24 hours. So why do you think it's important that we're joining together in prayer in this way and not just kind of praying in our own settings, as important as that is?
Well, I think the unity is powerful. It's important. You know, we are one church in Swanage. We always see the different congregations. You know, we've got members of four congregations. Some of them are not even in Swanage, but they're praying for Swanage. They're praying for what God has promised he's going to do here. In the vision we had originally back in 2008, the dream and the vision, it was prayer and worship are what brought in this massive move of God. And I think doing that together is a powerful thing. You know, when people get into a room with God, every move of God we've seen since Pentecost has just started with God's presence and people coming to him.
Yeah, and there's just such a blessing, like you say, on that unity. It reminds me of Psalm, I think it's 103 off the top of my head, that talks about God commanding a blessing over unity. So, yeah, I guess of the brothers and sisters kind of joining together in prayer. So, yeah, that's really important. So, great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any particular key points that we can be praying for you guys as a prayer house, or for people to be praying about as they spend this time with God, as people get involved in the rota?
Yeah, well, essentially, as people come in, we'll give people prayer points what to pray for. And what we find fascinating so far is we've just said to people, just come and spend that time with God. And when we get to the end of the day and we've seen what people have heard from the Lord, what they felt, you know, inspired to pray for, even scriptures, isn't it? We've seen people exactly get the same scriptures all through the day.
Yeah.
It's like we've all been in the same meeting.
Yeah.
It's really, really encouraging. And we've had, of course, some amazing testimonies from people. You know, we've got about seven guys from EBC that are texting us saying, we're getting this. It's like, wow. You know, so the guys from All Saints are getting this. The guys from up the road are getting it, you know, so it's, that's encouraging. So we do give prayer points, but generally just come and meet with God. And it's exciting.
Brilliant. I love that. I love that kind of sense of, not everyone just going off and praying, but then feeding back to you as well. And it becoming, it's that dialogue with God, isn't it? Where we're then expecting to hear back from him and then share together as a body what he's saying. So that's great. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us. And just to reiterate again, if you would like to get involved, just let Dave know at his email address what time you can do on a Tuesday. If you can get up at the crack of dawn, stay up, great. But if you're like me and you prefer to stick to a more civilized time, that's fine as well. So you can get involved really easily, and this is just a really powerful spiritual weapon, tool to use for us to bless one another together as a family body united in Christ. So thank you very much, guys, and we will be praying for you as a church moving forward out of lockdown.
Thanks, Lee. God bless.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. Bye.
God
bless.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. And you stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulder, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. It's life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I do? What can I do? To offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I do? but offer this heart, O God, completely to I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am. What can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So what can I say? To offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
It's really lovely to be able to invite Fee to come up now, who's going to bring God's word, and as she does, I'm just going to pray for her. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you equip and build up your church. You give different ones of us different gifts, and it's so lovely to be able to share these with each other. So as Fee speaks now, let us hear you and what you've brought to her heart to share with us. Build up your church and bless us, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rich, and lovely worship this morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name's Fee. I'm currently in my third year at college, which I cannot believe I'm saying right now. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you the next part of our lockdown series. We're going to be looking at Acts 12, as Rich introduced to us earlier. But as I was preparing, I really felt a sense of God drawing me to another prison experience, that of Genesis 39 to 41. So we're just going to briefly look at Joseph's time in lockdown as well, as we look at how God uses Peter and Joseph's times in these small, dark places of restriction to bring about his power. So if you want to open your Bible at Acts 12 and also have Genesis 39 to 41 handy, that would be great. So let's read Acts 12. It's a long one, but it's a good one. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she rang back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. So the focus of this message today is the power of God from gifts to unity and through to transformation. Firstly, the power of God comes as the individual steps out. So firstly, I just want to go over to Genesis 39 to 41 briefly. And for anyone that's not familiar with this story, the chapters tell us of, as Alison explored much more deeply a couple of weeks ago, unjustly locked up, Joseph finds himself in charge of all the other prisoners. And as we read in verse 22, Joseph is called to serve all the other prisoners, including the Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and his chief baker. And so he is called to minister to these two prisoners in these really dark places as he notices their sad countenances and realizes that they've both had a dream on the same night. And God is able to give Peter the insight and the wisdom he needs to be able to share the prophetic interpretation of these dreams. They're able to know what the future holds. And like I say, as Alison sort of referred to a couple of weeks ago, this prophetic gift of dream interpretation started way back in Joseph's youth as he stepped out telling his brothers some of the prophetic dreams he'd had. And obviously it didn't go very well. So Joseph could have been extremely put off by the experiences that he had here, but he chose in this dark place where he's unfairly locked up after all he's been through, to step out again, to use the gifts that he had been given to serve others for the glory of God. And the power of God fills this prison as these two people are opened up to know what is going to happen. As we read earlier in Genesis, Jacob is told that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him and his offspring. So this is starting as Joseph steps out to serve these two lowly people in the prison and opening up the power of God in their lives for his glory. His tiny acts of faithfulness here bring about ultimately a world transforming leadership by the power and glory of God, where he is actually used to save a nation from famine ultimately. The same gift he used in that dark, dusty place is now a mighty instrument that brings heaven to earth. The small becomes spacious, The tiny becomes transformational as he is unleashed for the glory of God into the future purposes God has for him. So, what gift has God given you that maybe he wants you or us to be stepping out in today? It might be that in this time of lockdown limitations, God wants us to be bringing out those gifts that he's given us to be used afresh, as we see with Joseph in this time, in this small, dark, restricted prison. And a while ago, God gave you the image of a pencil case, which is full of the specific gifts that he's given for us to use. But these gifts need taking out of the case and exercising, sharpening, if you will. It's not an overnight thing. And as we step out again and again through that growing, uncomfortable process, we learn as we're led by God. And he can take those tiny steps we take to use them for his glory and purpose. So what is God calling us into anew today? So firstly then, the power of God comes as the individuals step out, empowered by the Spirit as they're led by God. The second point that I wanted to look at is the power of God comes as the church gathers in unity. In Peter's prison, where he's surrounded by not just a few, but 16 guards who are not taking any chances after his last miraculous escape with the other apostles earlier in Acts, Peter decides, as Herod plans to bring him to trial the next day, to go to sleep. His life is hanging in the balance, but here we see someone so utterly and completely abandoned to the purposes and plans of God for his life that he's able to be completely at rest in his spirit. Total surrender sets up a perfect miracle, and God is glorified by the breakthrough that comes. From exercising our individual gifts for his glory to the corporate praying church of Acts 12, every contribution from every individual is vital for the body of Christ, as we see here. As Peter sleeps in his prison at rest, he's upheld by the praying church who day in, day out, lift up their voices to the only one that can get their brother out of jail. He needs every member to take their part in prayer, battling in the heavenly realms for his freedom and ultimately for the mission of God, the purposes of God to be accomplished. It can be easy to feel like islands, especially at this time. But the power and blessing of God come upon the joint heart cry of the praying church. In John 17, Jesus prays that his disciples may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The body of Christ working together reflects a very triune nature of God, one in three persons working in perfect harmony, and he desires to meet with us in this unity, as where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. God's unity joins with our unity, and an almighty prayer gathering is formed. And then the praying church's answer comes. It's a brilliant scenario, as what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, and Peter escapes. The spiritual release of chains becomes a physical release of chains as heaven invades. And then Rhoda, the servant girl, abruptly shuts the door on Peter's face. Even this church, ceaselessly praying, are shocked to find their prayers have actually been answered. Jesus tells us that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. As we pray in line with God's will, Jesus invites us to pray our biggest and boldest and most mind-stretching prayers when nothing is impossible. How big is our God? What iron gates need flinging open in our lives? As Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. So from gifts of the Spirit to the fervent praying church on mission, where every contribution is vitally needed from every member, God wants to bring total transformation to the land. As 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's this joint decision to seek him and get our hearts right before him that launches the restoration of God and his power around us. So what is God calling us to deal with before him today? He wants to come by his power and his Spirit to transform us and to heal us, and also to heal the land around us, to come into our lives and those around us, and to bring the total transformation that the kingdom of God brings as we seek him. In 1904, Evan Roberts finally witnessed the power of God flooding his Welsh hometown in extraordinary ways after 13 years of praying for revival. Nightly, hours-long prayer meetings led to 100,000 people being saved within 6 months across Wales, and then far more, sparking off many other revivals around the world. Every area of life in the country was transformed. Judges had no cases, arrests were halved, taverns closed, and coal miners' ponies couldn't even understand their instructions without all the swear words they were used to. As G. Campbell Morgan said at the time, I say to you today, beloved, without any hesitation, that this whole thing is of God, that it is a visitation in which he is making men conscious of himself without any human agency. Prayer saves nations. Do we want to see that kind of transformational community healing, restorative power where we live? Do we want Jesus to come and move mountains in our areas, making the blind see and the hopeless revived, bringing wholeness into the places that we live and the places around us? Isaiah speaks of a saviour who wants to bring wholehearted, complete restoration and change. Like Wales, no area will be untouched as the power of God comes. Like the prisoners in these passages, Jesus dwelled in the lowliest places, born in a stable, to come and preach good news to the world. The good news that he himself, God himself, would want to be lifted up on a cross, bearing our sin for us, so that we can be transformed by the power of his Spirit, made right with him. And we, like him, we're called to dwell in the lowliest of places, as his Spirit dwells in us, bringing his message of good news to the poor, binding up of the brokenhearted, releasing the prisoners from darkness, comforting all who mourn, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and so much more as we draw to our precious King Jesus, who died for us that we might be made whole and bring this to the world around us. If you would like to get involved with the Praying Church at this time, please look out for a week of prayer coming up towards Pentecost with a revival focus. We'll be praying for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit this season as we come out of lockdown and look to the future. Details are still being confirmed, but it will be wonderful to get together to pray as we seek his Spirit afresh. We also meet every other week on Zoom to pray, and there's a 24/7 prayer rota, which Dave spoke to us earlier about. So, as we think about prayer, what keeps us from stepping into that focused, fervent prayer time that we see with God in the Acts Church? What enemy of distraction do we need removing so that we can give God our full, intentional focus? Let's just have a few moments of silence to allow the Holy Spirit to just come speak to us. And if you don't know Jesus yet and you would like to, you'd like to know the transformation, the healing and the wholeness that he wants to bring to all of us by his power, then please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. So let's just pause for a minute. Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer and for the gifts you give us, which enable us to build up the body of Christ and serve the world around us in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll help us to seek you at this time, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Lord, we choose to give you our lives afresh. Take everything for your glory and your purpose in Jesus' name. Precious name, amen.
Draw this nation back to you.
Thank you, Fee, for that really challenging reminder that we need to gather. It's the gathered people of prayer as much as we pray on our own. Yes, and God uses that. But I think the gathered church praying together is so, so powerful. There's people who are in prison within our area, within our town. Let's pray and release. And let me remind you of what that 24/7 day of prayer do. Look back and find that email, but let's register. Let's become a part of that which God's doing amongst us. If you do want to follow anything through this morning, if God's said something to you and you want to chat, then do let us know. As I said, post the service during coffee and chat, then please do let us know that. Now, it gives me the privilege to be able to close the service today. Isn't that nice? I don't usually get that opportunity. So, I want you all on your feet at home, all right? Everybody, all right? And I want you to lift your arms in the air, and we're going to share the grace together, okay? So, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thanks for joining us.